everybody. Welcome to For the Fans Entertainment. I should probably get my mic ready before we start, but here it is anyways. I was here literally sipping my tea because we got a lot of tea to talk about. I'm Sheldon here with Kevin and Josh.
Hey.
Gentlemen.
Hello.
It has been quite the week in the Big Brother Canada house. Really quick, Kevin, first word that comes to your mind when you think about what happened this week in the BB Can house.
So far this week, spineless.
Ooh.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Let's just say
one word for you, Josh.
One word.
He froze.
One word. He can't even say it. It's hard. Well, for me, the one word is. Hell of a time. That's multiple words.
Oh, am I back? Did
no,
I?
No, you're back. You're back.
Okay,
yeah,
okay. I have no clue on what just happened. I'm going to say wimp.
Wimp?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Let's just, yeah, like I was going to say something along the lines of spineless, but I guess like wimp is probably the closest thing I can think of right now because, when we dive right into the episode, I'm just going to say like this one completely tanked Marty's game. That's all I got to say.
Wow. Yeah. So I think before we actually get into the episode, we're about halfway through the season.
Yes.
And I was really hoping that we could do a quick roundtable on, you know, just overall thoughts. How do you think the season's going? Where does it rank with other seasons of BB Can or BB in general? And I'm hoping to get a score between A to F. What do you think of this season?
So for me, this is the best season of BB Canada I've ever seen.
And the only
It is a 10 for me because of all the seasons of BB Can I've watched, this is the best. No, I've not seen BB Can, but this season, okay, so I've enjoyed the fluidity of the house. That's something that's way different than BB US, and I'm assuming it's different than normal BB Can seasons as well. I'm assuming that most seasons of Big Brother are probably played very similar no matter what format you have. But this season, the cast is extremely fluid with who they're working with, who you're not working with. There's not particular sides, but there's pockets of people that like each other and are willing to vote some of the pockets and not willing to vote some of the other pockets. So I think that's pretty cool. On a scale of 1 to 10, you said?
A to F. Give it a letter grade. We're in school.
A to F. I would give this season a B. A solid B. I'm enjoying it. There's some people I didn't care for. There's some others that I still don't care for. There's some that I really like a lot. So I would give it a B. Josh?
Okay. So on the flip side of things, I have seen every single season of BB Can. So I think in terms of how I would rank it is that BB Can 10 is honestly a very solid season. I definitely enjoyed the cast. I definitely enjoy how the twists are being thrown in there. It's not too much. It's not too heavy lifting on things. Like, production's not up. Like the best part about BB Can with, like, and here's what I've noticed with this season, they've actually let the players play the game the way that they want to play it and not let production just jump in and be like, oh, you have this to deal with. Arissa actually learned from this. From BB Can 9 and just learn to let the game just play out. So I would definitely give this an A as of right now. I'm very enjoying the season. I still think BB Can 9 is like higher up slightly, but I think 10 can reach that potential. I think it can reach that rank. I very much enjoy 9. I very much enjoy 10. The only way that that things can go south is that when we get to the second half of the game and the rest of it is just a pergoging. But I don't see this going as like one side or the other. I think right now everybody is playing all sides and it's so far looking very much like a even playing field right now. So it's anyone's game at this point.
So I think that I like the season overall. I don't love the season.
Really?
It's not, I'm not, you know, crying about it every night before I go to bed. I think that what happened was bad gameplay actually resulted in the fluidity in the season. So I think we could have had a big alliance on one side of the house, but Kyle basically destroyed any chances of it. So, yeah. And I think Kyle actually, with him not in the house and his moves during his HOH week actually very much so changed the future of this game. Mm-hmm. And to me, I probably give the game a B minus for the reason that I'm waiting to see some good play gameplay. I see some inklings of it with Kevin. Mm-hmm. I see some inklings of it with Summer, but I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen Danielle Reyes look into the camera after all the work she did all week and say one down or seven down, two to go or whatever. I don't see somebody who's controlling, who's the boss. That doesn't mean there's not good gameplay. I see good gameplay, as I said, in Summer, in Josh, in Kevin, but I want to see more of it. Now, of course, a lot of that good gameplay usually comes out in the second half of the season, when you're really getting down and dirty and trying to get figure out your end game. So I hope there's a lot more to be seen. But is it a great season? I think it's a good season. Loving it.
I think the top three game players so far this season have been Kevin, Herman, and Josh.
You're not tossing Summer in there?
With a Summer close four. Oh, okay. With a Summer at a close four. Because, and I say that because I don't know that Summer is like playing the game. I think Summer's like kind of just enjoying herself. As I very much feel like this is who Summer is as a person. I don't think a lot of the moves that she's making are too tactical. At least they don't feel that way just yet. They feel like that they're borderline intentional, but it's more like, I like this person, so I would rather you not send this person home.
And the evidence to that is that she couldn't make sure Tanisha stayed.
Correct. And it's like, whereas Kevin is intentionally positioning things for his advancement, right? He controlled Jess's HOH for his advancement, not for Jess's. Herman is using his physical prowess and his salesmanship to get the things he needs done with the people that he needs to work with. And then Josh's kindness and thoughtfulness, he is definitely using that intentionally because he sits and he listens. I mean, when Summer was talking to him about thinking that the vote might have flipped to Tanisha, he went, you think so? Man, that's crazy. Knowing full well that it had already been done, he was able to utilize that time and his demeanor with her to not alarm her and still sympathize with her. And that's intentional.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why I have the three of them as the best game players.
I mean, like, I'm switching mine up a little bit. Like, I'm going to put Kevin, Summer, and I'm going to say Josh in, like, in no particular order for top three players. The reason being is that Kevin single-handedly controlled Jess's HOH last week. And you will slowly see that, like, going on for this upcoming week. For Marty's as well, which we're gonna talk about that a little bit later. Then you got Summer, who some people say that like she just has a great social game, but hasn't made any plays. I disagree. I think she got into Gino's ear and convinced him to throw up Kyle. That was the only move that I could think of that was solely based off of Summer's gameplay. But yeah, like I still don't think that like I think Summer has been playing the game. I just don't think she's actually going up to her full potential yet. I think she knows how to play. I just don't think she's reaching at that max yet. But she's definitely doing better than a lot of players in the house, in my opinion. And then you got Josh, who is probably sitting in the best position in the house next to Summer by everybody. He's aligned with everybody. He's in good graces with everybody. He could easily be set up on the block, and nobody can send him home. That's how good he is. And he has the votes to stay every single time. So, like, if my money is on those three can easily take it. Unless somebody puts their pieces together, maybe Herman can take a shot at those three and take a shot and get rid of the big threats. And then from that point, it'll be a fair game. But top three getters are Josh, Josh, Summer, and Kevin.
Kevin.
So we're going to see, because we got a lot of episodes going on over the next few weeks. We're just over halfway done time-wise, and we got a lot of people still to evict. So we're going to see. We had a great episode air yesterday, a really, phenomenal. Really solid episode with one of my favorite things that Big Brother does, a to be continued.
Well, before you get into that, one of my favorite things that they do is that you see a double, and then usually the following episode is a real deep dive into everything that happened during that double. And those are my favorite episodes of Big Brother seasons, is the episode after the double, because it's not stuff I got to see on feeds. It's not stuff that we got to know was happening. It's one of the few episodes that is truly a wonder of what happened, what did we miss, and then we get a chance to actually watch it.
It's also because during double evictions, no, it's not compressed to that hour of TV that we see. It's probably compressed to about 2 hours, 3 hours, something like that. So it's still a tight amount of time, but you actually completely see the players scrambling, working, and their truth selves have to come out. And we'll talk a little bit about Kevin's true self coming out. You see some Betty's true self starting to come out. So we see T leave, and true, real, deep emotion from almost everybody in that house. They voted her out, and it wasn't unanimous, but it was pretty close. But a real feeling of, oh gosh, what did we just do? What do y'all think?
So when T went home, like I talked about the other night when I was in the car, Moose is bawling the moment the vote is revealed. Even on the rewatch last night, Helena is like real broken up about the vote. And I think she shout out her daughter, I think.
Like Sienna, yeah.
Yeah, she like Tanisha was such a force in the game of like, just people just liked her. And it was a hard vote, but Helena had to do it for her own game. You know, because that's where she was positioning herself. And I say for her own game is because she had decided to throw her lot in with Josh and Kevin at that point. So that was the move for her game. And it just really, it hurt everybody on that side, just like broke their heart. So being able to watch that happen, seeing the genuine emotion, I thought was really, really cool. And then, like, once again, watching the squad get to hug each other and Tanisha telling Jess that Jess screwed up their game, and just getting to see that again was great.
Right. I think definitely when Tanisha like walked up those steps and then you could see the aftermath of Tanisha leaving, you could tell that Tanisha had a really good stance in that house. Everybody loved her. Everybody did not want to get rid of her. So you could tell when people were like really bawling that she had to leave. You could tell that like, just because you're in good standings with everybody else, that does not mean that you are safe. And I think these people like realize that, like, that because they love Tanisha so much that now that she's gone, like, their game has to readjust now and figure out what their next gameplay is going to be going forward. So yeah, like, I definitely like that. I also like when you got a little bit of insight from like Moose and like you can tell that like he did not want Tanisha to go, but you can also see in his eyes that like he would rather be evicted than Tanisha. But yeah, like that goes to show how much of a good stance Tanisha had on the house.
I think Moose, I feel bad to call it an outburst, but it was, that's what it was when he was bawling. He was emotionally hurt that Tanisha, the woman who's sitting beside him, is going. And I think like sometimes we forget these are real people, and Moose is 23. I think something like that. He is young.
He's around my age, yeah.
He is very, very young. And that isn't to say that older people aren't going to be emotional. But it just shows, you know, he got into that house and he met this woman who's 10 years older than him, with a child, with a life, with a career. And he built this attachment over this time. And it's so real. And
not attachment. Bond. He built a bond.
Bond. Yeah. Like friendship. And you know, and she wasn't hiding the fact that she is a mother. She wasn't hiding that she's a single mother. Like, she wasn't hiding any of that. And you know, it was just a testament to, I think, who Tanisha is as a human. Yeah. That people really, really liked her. And, you know, my thought watching that was, well, if that's how they feel about Tanisha, they better be very careful, because if Summer's on the block, she might be next, because people like her just the same amount as they like Tanisha. She's extremely loved in that house. Everybody likes to play with her. Everybody likes to joke with her. And, you know, part of me wonders, you know, Josh, you were talking about early on that you don't think Summer is showing her full game capacity. I hope that's true. I don't know if there's evidence to that yet, but let's say that is true. I think she has to do that because she is socially so strong and so beloved that if she would really show truthfully that she is extremely strong, she would be next out. Like, and we're already seeing that with Josh, because Josh as well, he started to show that he's so good at competitions, and he's already so good of a social player that people are starting to say, look at Josh, look at Josh, look at Josh. So I think that you have to, if you're really good at one of those attributes of a game player, you have to tone down the others because you're screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not quite sure if Summer is doing that on purpose, because if that be the case, she's doing a phenomenal under the radar game right now. But even then, like, I'm impressed that she's able to, like, even though be like still like closely like associated with Tanisha, she still was able to, like, even be still under the radar and let Tanisha take the full blow. Like, just imagine if the roles were reversed and Summer was going to be hitting the block instead of Tanisha. Tanisha would probably be next. With Summer, I still think she has some recovery, so I wouldn't count her out just yet.
And, well, the perception in the house was that Tanisha was the leader there and not Summer. And I think it was Summer, actually. And not
I think it was Summer. Yeah, like it definitely
Tanisha,
was
Tanisha
Summer.
Was just vibing. Yeah. Tanisha was just living her life. And then they're like, Tanisha's a mastermind. And she's like, what?
So we see next up, my favorite part, the beautiful, beautiful safety chain round, where we see one by one, everybody chooses, and we finally get some insight into what Kevin's decision was. And Kevin basically says, I wanted to pick Kalina, but that would expose us as a duo. So I picked Marty, because Marty has the strongest relationship with Helena of the people left and would pick Helena. Brilliant. Seems to be like a really awesome read by Kevin.
Brilliant.
Being able to not show off who his final two is and also read what Marty, an extremely volatile person in this game, as we were about to talk about, and he knew that already from previous weeks, who he was going to pick. What a move.
Yeah.
Before we get into that, though, Josh, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think it's fair that Jess did not get to compete in the safety competition?
Jess did compete in the safety comp.
No, Jess did not. When they rolled the balls.
Actually.
Yeah, when they rolled the balls, Jess did not get to compete. And it was not an HOH
competition. Oh, yeah.
So that's been one thing that's been on the Twitter is how it wasn't necessarily fair that Jess didn't get to compete. Because that was not an HOH competition. That was a competition for safety. And since it was a competition for safety, Jess should have been able to compete in that competition like everyone else. Now, Moose did get the highest score possible, right? So only they could have tied and had to re-roll. But that's been one thing that's been floating around on the internet. I wanted to know what you guys' take was on Jess.
Right, so that's also the same argument that you can make with the invisible, when you look at BB Can 9 with the invisible HOH, it was the same thing. I believe... I can't remember if it was Deshaun or Jetson who won HOH that round, but then the round after was the invisible HOH round. Oh yeah, that was Deshaun. Deshaun couldn't compete, so they all knew that wasn't Deshaun, but everybody else was able to compete for that. So that's arguably the same. That's arguably the same thing if they were to like twist it up, because it was just based off of the last HOH round. They have to be like, you know what? Because Jess was outgoing HOH, they cannot compete. So I do see the points for that. I still think it was fair the way they did it. But yeah, like if they wanted to switch it up, they should have been like, Jess is allowed to compete in this HOH comp or this safety chain comp.
So what think, do you yeah. think?
That's an interesting point. Like, I think the reason why somebody who previously won an HOH can't compete is because they were just safe. So they should have the ability of not being safe in the next round. And that's exactly what happened. In like the point of that was to not be safe, and they were just safe, so it makes sense to me that they wouldn't compete, even though I understand it's not an HOH competition per se.
Yeah,
I don't see it. I guess I'm sure they had a debate about it when they were making the decision of bringing the safety chain in, but I don't know, it kind of makes sense, because then what would happen? Like, nobody actually won HOH, so for the next round, well, if Jess would have survived, does that mean they couldn't compete then?
But that's the thing. Moose got to compete in the HOH competition.
because the safety chain was not an HOH comp. That's why.
I know. But that's the point, though, right? If it's not an HOH comp, then Jess should have been able to compete. No, that's just something that
I get your point. I get your point. Not, or like the same
it's on the internet. So on the internet.
Like I said,
That was very interesting. Yeah, I thought that was very interesting because I'm like, well, Moose got to compete in the HOH competition. And because if you want to go with about being safe, Moose was just safe, not because of the chain, but he started the chain, right? So he won the comp to start the chain. So.
Right,
he should have not been able to compete in the HOH if you're following the same logic that Jess can't compete because they were just, you know, only
like,
for that
reason. That's fair. Like, I think I see like both sides to that. I think the way they handle it was completely fine because, like, if it's not an HOH comp, then like I can definitely see why everyone was able to compete for that aspect for like when they compete for the HOH for next round, but. If it's for like the invisible HOH or like the safety chain or something different, then it's not specifically for an HOH comp. Like,
well, the invisible HOH is an HOH.
Well, here's the thing. Like, yeah, it's a very nice. I don't know. There's no right or wrong answer here. I think it's a debate. But it's a very good way to get rid of somebody who's not likable, which is exactly.
Here's the thing. Like, I think. Like when they set up the season, they already had their stuff already planned. So I'm pretty sure they worked out the kinks on how it was going to work for the next round anyways. So honestly, the way they laid out for like how the safety chain went, I thought it was fine. If people felt something different, then you know what? That's them.
So we see the competition happen between JC Lynn, Gino, and Jess. And the wonderful JC Lynn wins again another competition. This is, I think, her second competition she wins.
Yeah.
Putting on a show in these sort of very, very super focused in competitions. When she's under pressure, she wins. So good for her. Gino and Jess on the block. And we see literally everybody talking to Gino and telling him, you're okay, you're okay, you're okay. And we kind of see Jess talking to nobody. I don't know if they just thought that they were done, and they probably thought they were done.
I think it was very interesting that like you don't see Jess at all.
At all.
I was concerned. I was like, "Is Jess quitting? Like, what's going on?" Well,
the other thing that was interesting was that coming up to the end of the feeds of Jess's reign, Jess was never on feeds the last couple days.
Nope.
Rumor has it, according to someone, I think it was Hamza. Hamza said that someone tried to leave the game. Rumor is it might have been Jess.
Really?
And then after that, they weren't on feeds. The reason they say it might have been Jess is because they were not on feeds the last couple days, hardly at all. There was one day that there was no feeds in the H room at all. So I wonder if there was some kind of disagreement and they asked to no longer be shown. And so they showed them in a minimal amount. Last night we got very little of them and they went home, right? We got more Tanisha, who went home in the first part of the episode, than we got of Jess.
Yeah, but I don't get that, to be honest, Kevin. Like, what benefit does BB Canada have over Jess, over listening to Jess? She isn't the producer. It's being respectful.
If they ask.
Yeah, but they also don't know what's going on outside the house. They don't know how they're being portrayed. Like, I don't know. That seems strange. I could imagine them basically saying, we don't want to see them on TV anymore because they're kind of a wreck and boring and whatever. And that's why they're not showing them on the feeds. But, you know, maybe there was a feeling that Jess was done. And that's why Jess didn't campaign, didn't do anything. In fact, what we end up seeing is Kevin go to Marty and basically say, maybe we should do Gino. And then we see in another room, Betty and Josh having that conversation. And
the exact same thought.
Maybe we should do Gino. And then they bring in Marty, they bring in Kevin, they bring in Helena, and they all have this exact same conversation. We should do Gino. We have this great chance. Let's break up a showman's. Kevin does the thumbs up. Kevin does the thumbs up. Not everybody reciprocates the thumbs up, but Kevin does the thumbs up. They all go out into that main room, and Marty is sitting there again, just like Kyle looked, like he shat himself. and looks pretty scared, looks pretty petrified, unsure what's going on, unsure what to do. Helena looks terrified as well. And Betty goes to Josh. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. We can't do it. We can't do it. He's not going to
Well, I mean, so looking at them on that side of the couch, like Marty looked stressed the whole time. And since they can't really talk about the plan openly, we only had so much time. I have to agree with them because they're looking at him looking super stressed over there. And yeah, he did not seem extremely committed in that room over there, because, you know, Gino's his boy and he's there for Gino and everything for Gino. But yet he didn't save him in the safety chain. He didn't vote against he was willing to vote against him if he had to. I understand why they were like, we can't expose ourselves if Marty doesn't do it. We just can't.
Yeah.
Why not get up and go to Marty and say, are we doing it? Because
here's the thing. That's very similar to like when you when you're sitting at tribal council and Survivor, and then you stand up to go walk over to someone else and be like.
But it's not. They're not in the middle. They're literally sitting there just waiting.
Because they're like sitting like right across from each other, because like if they were to walk over and whisper down to them on what to do, that's 110% sketchy, and they did not want to show their cards at that moment, because Marty was like had a look on his face of like just like sadness and it looked like that he was gonna like have a panic attack. Betty was just going and being like, no, we can't do it, we can't do it. I think the paranoia got to Betty. And that's why the three of them were like, you know what, let's just play it safe. Like, we can't chance it. Which, honestly, that's probably better for them on their part, but...
No, I disagree. I don't know if the paranoia got to Betty. I think Betty is looking over, and Marty's doing this. And it's not a paranoid. I'm watching this person, body language, tell me that they're not in for this plan. And all five of us have to be locked in for this plan. I'm looking at Helena. Helena's kind of just stone-faced, so we're good. But... I'm watching Marty struggle with this decision, and I just can't put myself on a limb like that.
No.
And truth be told, like we do, although he and Helena both end up voting out Gino, and their plan would have 1,000% worked, and Gino would have been out that house, and Jess would have still been in there. You see them go into the diary room, and in fact, still struggle with it. With deep, serious emotion. So I think you're right. But at the same point, I don't know. I felt like Betty could have done something. My favorite part of that entire scene was Summer was sitting right beside Betty and listening in and kind of smiling and being like, there, she's trying to do something. Is she going to do it? But Summer did nothing. Like Summer wasn't like something strange and shady's going on. I should probably get in here and talk to Betty and whisper to Betty and see what's going on. Is there anything we need to do?
Or maybe they didn't show it. Or maybe
whispering. I don't know that they can. I don't know that they. It would be unprecedented, right? It'd be like the first time they whispered on Survivor, because people don't really whisper when they're doing the votes. So
we usually don't see that. We usually only see the people going into the rooms and out of the, like, we don't see what's going on in the living room. All correct. We see is people walking in. So we don't know. And I always hear people like laughing as they walk in. And like, I think there is talking there, but I wonder if it was such a tense and scary moment that everybody was like, we got to be quiet. We got to just stick to the plan, shut up and get Jess out.
Mm-hmm. Sam here in the chat said they have a new term for what Jess was doing. They said it's Nicoing. So the house guests quitting when they have nowhere to go in the game. Their game is pretty cooked, and they basically want to quit at this point. That's what we had Sam say in the chat. That's kind of what Jess was doing there in this situation. Because Jess knew that their time was up, and there was nothing they could really do about it. And...
I will use that term. Okay, Sam, we'll be rooting for you if you get on the show. Yeah.
And we have our expert, Kylie, saying that she usually, Arissa, says that to remember there's no talking during the vote. So that's really interesting.
I think Arissa wants to see more mess. I think she kind of let that go and be like, hey, you know what? Just don't say anything.
I think we talk about giving Arissa a little bit too much credit. Arissa is the host. She's not in the house. She's not listening in. There's producers there, and there's directors, and they're responsible for all of that. So I don't think Arissa.
Shelly, Uncle Shelly, do not take credit from Arissa.
I'm taking credit from Arissa.
She's executive producer now, Sheldon. She's executive producer.
Yes, she's absolutely the executive producer. But while she's standing there hosting, she's got 12,000 different things she's holding and trying to figure out. She's not listening into what's going on inside the house and telling the director, tell them to stop talking or not talking. Like, that's not the way this works.
Listen, nah, as far as I'm concerned, Arissa is Jeff. And Jeff is just as in charge as Arissa is. They are both in charge of the whole game at the whole time.
I also don't think Jeff is that in charge. I'm sure he's quite in charge, but I don't think he's that in charge on a day-to-day. Make sure David doesn't go whisper anything now. No, I don't think that's happening, folks. I think you're giving these hosts a little too much credit. They got a gig they're hosting.
Okay, but here's a little bit of a interesting moment when Josh voted to evict Jess. Kevin was coming down that same hallway right into the diary room. Kevin says, did you do it? And then Josh was like, no. So that is an interesting observation. Like, I don't know if that was allowed, but I thought it was very, interesting moment to put out, because I've never seen anything like that before. So
we've been seeing this all season as people walk in and walk out.
Yeah, but they got like their little handshakes, but not like moments being like, did you do it? Like,
but if they're back to back with people that they're aligned with, you see them say, did you do it? And then they say yes or no. Like that, that's been happening this entire season. I will also say that we did have a vote of 7-2. Jess left and two votes against Gino. Helena and Marty, the two people that Betty was scared, or at least specifically Marty was scared, wouldn't vote their way. And they did lose an opportunity to break up a showmance that seemed to also be at the bottom of the house. So I'm not sure if that was a really great move anyways. In fact, maybe it would have been smarter to bring them back together. But then we see Marty saying... Then we see Gino basically saying he thinks Josh and Betty voted Gino. Nobody else, Josh and Betty, not the actual two people who did it. That was the first read. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think with Gino just pointing out saying, hey, it's Josh and Betty, good. Those that actually voted Gino can just keep their mouths shut, and Gino will have that perception that it was Josh and Betty, and Gino will gun for them next week. Leave it at that. That would be good from here.
What?
But
Gino does not leave it at that, because Gino says, let's assemble the troops. Gino brings in Marty. Gino brings in Kevin. Gino brings in Betty. Gino brings in Josh. Gino brings in Helena, and they all have to go into the bedroom together.
It's no, Sheldon, you have rolled over the lead. The moment that this happened, the moment it happened, Marty grabbed JL.
Yes. And said, yeah, it was Josh and Betty.
It was those two. They tried to trick me. And I said, no. I said, no, I'm not voting Gino. I'm not voting Gino. It was them. And it was me. And it was Kevin. And it was Helena. And it never, never, never let Marty hide about it.
I agree, Kyle.
Absolutely the smartest thing. Obviously, Gino didn't buy it. So Gino assembled the troops and basically said, you know, who are the votes?
And never let Marty hide a body, because Marty will hide the body, then go right to the police and say, I was just over there on 2nd Street and I saw someone put a body under the tree. It's the 2nd tree and there's a red thing on the branch. There's a red thing on the branch. No, I did not do it. Okay, you got me. I did it. It was me. I hit the body. But it wasn't my fault. That's exactly how, never trust Marty.
Oh my gosh. That Marty single-handedly ruined his game right there.
Yes.
Single-handedly. Yes. I thought Kyle putting up two of his own alliance members of 7-Up was bad. This, oh my god, that is worse. Well, arguably it's just as bad, but still the Kyle thing is
because like you said, Gino brings all of them in to interrogate on his own, but he gives all of the names because Marty immediately gives them all up.
All the names.
ridiculous.
Yeah, it was something. And, you know, in that big room, when Gino's trying to confront them, Marty basically says, oh, before I even heard the name Gino, they brought me into the room, Benny and Josh, and they were already talking about it, which wasn't true because Kevin whispered the name into Gino's ear first. And
yeah, into Marty's ear, yeah.
I think Marty wasn't lying. I think he just forgot what happened. I think
you're right. I think you're right on that.
Thought that the first time he heard Gino's name was when he walked into that room. And they all talked about it, and they all did agree about it while they were in that room. And even Marty says, somebody did a thumbs up. Somebody did a thumbs up. Don't remember who. It was Kevin. And Kevin says, it wasn't me. I didn't do a thumbs up. Not me. That was something. Yeah. That was something.
It was crazy because Gino doesn't even get a perp list without Marty confessing. And then once he gets the list of perps, he pulls them all into the room. Kevin continues to have that ice in his veins, stone cold. And because, I mean, Betty says, we weren't even talking about that. And then they say, well, then Betty goes, well, Helena was in there and she said some stuff. And then Kevin's like, now, we were talking about it. Let's be real. We were talking about it. Like, we were going to do it. We weren't going to do it, Gino. But I'm not going to lie to you. We did talk about it.
And so here we are again. Kevin does a lot of dirty things and gets away with it.
Yes.
How is this possible?
While also keeping his real allies and Marty and Helena safe.
Like, I think what Kevin did is that, like, he was just basically trying to put the bandage over the open wound and basically just says, like, hey, you know what? Honest mistake. We're good. Like that was basically what Kevin did right there when he was in the room with the other four people. I thought that was really, really, like, good way to get out of a harmful.
I have an even better analogy. Okay. There was a mess on the floor, and all Kevin did was lay a sheet on top of it and said, there's no mess here. there's nothing. There's no, what do you mean there's a mess here? There's no, Gino, there's no mess here. And Gino's like, all right, I've got my eyes on you. And then Marty went and grabbed the sheet and said, there is a mess. There is a mess here. And Gino's like, well, I guess Kevin was wrong. And Kevin's like, what am I going to do about this Marty guy? Because we keep getting him away and he keeps running and telling what's going on.
And that's not the worst for Marty yet. Just wait. It's going to get worse.
We're about to get there, but guess what? It was time for the HOH competition. Really interesting glow-in-the-dark darkness competition.
It was a fun competition. Nice.
Throwing this hula hoop, this large ring, onto a stump. Let's call it a stump. I don't know why I called it that, but let's call it that. And, you know, round by round, people were eliminated. Surprise, surprise. Who was the final two? Josh again. And Marty. And after a hell of a few hours in that house, guess who wins?
Marty.
Marty's the HOH. Marty just had a hell of a time. Marty was just super emotional. And guess what? He's about to get even more emotional. So if you're Marty, what do you do here? What do you do?
So you have three options, right? Yeah. You're Marty. You could either A, finish the job and put up Gino and JC Lynn and take care of work. You could B, you could say nothing. You could work with Gino and say, I don't know what happened, but we can work together and run this HOH like we need to. Or you could C, fold like a cheap suit and call Gino and tell him that you're the one that actually did it. And you can cry and you can say that you're going to get him. Which one do you think Marty took?
Well, knowing Marty, I bet he did option number three.
Yeah. Well, I could tell you what Marty did. First of all, one of the things I was actually a little bit impressed about is that Marty was self-aware. After he won the competition, he said, I am very good at comp, not good at game strategy. But at least he knows that he sucks at the game, but he can win some stuff. Good for him. Yeah. He knows. But I wanted me to tell you what choice he made. He gave the, let me roll over and get stooped in the rear end option. That was what he did, because he went straight to Gino and said, you know what, Gino, I voted you out for the 17,000th time. I betrayed you.
I screwed you again.
You know what? Let's make it a little bit better. You own me. Now you own me. Whatever you want to happen this round, I will do. Just tell me. Just tell me I'm yours. I'm so sorry. What the heck?
It was even worse than that.
Hold on. Here's what Marty did. He basically took the knife out of Gino's back and say, here was the knife I stabbed you with. Like, that was just basically what he did. I'm like, Marty, even, that was not even the worst. Worse, thing.
Josh, he what? Took the knife out of his back and said, stab me with it, please. I'm so sorry. I can't believe I stabbed you again. Now, please stab me in the front. It was worse. It was insane, right? Because Marty, even worse, Sheldon. The thing that was even worse is that he tells Gino, I'm telling you this because I'm the HOH and I'm safe. He said that to him. He would have never said this if he wasn't safe. But since I'm safe, so it's time for me to come clean.
So far, based on how far we've gotten, is Marty now worse than Kyle?
Marty is, like, I think he's arguably almost at that rank of Kyle.
No, I don't think he's worse than Kyle because it's a different kind of situation. Marty is so focused on Canada. He is so focused on how he looks to Canada. And so since he's so focused on how he looks to Canada, he's trying to make good moves. But then when they go, he doesn't want the world to think that he's betraying Gino, even though he is consistently.
Multiple times.
He feels bad for it because he doesn't want people at home to think that he's a bad person. Because for whatever reason, he is equated playing the game to being a bad person. For whatever reason. So I don't think he's worse than Kyle, because Kyle did that stuff do the stuff.
Kevin, not for whatever reason. It's hard to backstab people. It hurts you because it gets personal, even though it's a game. But it's part of the game. I'm not saying that, you know, that's a reason for it. But it hurts. It hurt when I voted you out in the game once. I hated it. I was so emotional.
But that's not the problem, though, right? The problem is that he backstabs them, and then he immediately rolls over. That's the problem. It's not doing the move. The move is
at
not is not
is semi self aware.
Like, the move is not the problem. Legitimately, it's the fact that after he did the move, him going the first time when he flips on the vote, and then he goes to Gino and he apologizes for flipping on him, and then telling Gino, "You should put me up. This is on me. You should put me up. That's what I would do. You should put me up. I'm so sorry." And then this time it happening again. Him stabbing him in the back, and then him being the one to go, "They tried to set me up. Gino, they tried to have me screw you. And I did vote for you, and I'm so sorry. This HOH is now your HOH. You tell me what you want me to do." That's the problem. It's not the stab in the back. It's the rolling over.
I think Marty should just play the game without having the pressure of, like, how Canada views him. Who cares? Like, if you're not worried about how Canada perceives you when you're in the house, you shouldn't be in Big Brother anyways. So I think Marty needs to, like, let that go and play the game that he wants to play. Because right now, even though he doesn't want to betray Gino, he's attempted that at least 3 times now. And probably not going to be the last one by the end of, like, next week. So it's like, Marty, just grow a backbone, own the moves that you're making, keep some stuff quiet. Sometimes you don't need to tell Gino everything and just go along with it. But right now, he's just making himself worse, because now, even like once Marty's HOH week is over, he's 100% next no matter who wins HOH.
So
that's
Gino,
how bad it is.
So Gino runs to his number two, to JL, and tells her everything.
Of course.
And, you know, she's a little bit shocked, but like, what the heck is going on with this dude? He has no idea what he's doing. And surprise, surprise, Marty tried to be best friends with Gino. And now Marty tries to be best friends with JC Lynn and takes her for some chicken at Wendy's. Marty gets this beautiful
spicy chickens once again.
Spicy. No. JC Lynn gets spicy chicken. He gets chicken tenders. Still in the chicken family. One is in the sandwich. One is without one.
Can we put a tally of like how many times the house guest got a chicken sandwich? Almost every single one of them except for one.
Yep.
That's what's funny. So
we also get this video from Kevin Martin, winner of season 5 of Big Brother Canada, spoiler alert.
Good winner.
And one of my favorite winners, maybe of all Big Brothers,
Marty's as well. Or not. Marty's
and,
as well.
And what does he say? He actually says nothing. He basically says, you know what? Numbers are going down. That means every competition is worth more. Kevin Martin says nothing to him.
That absolutely doesn't make any sense either. Like, I would have just, like, all he's basically said to him is, like, do what you want to do. And that's it. Well, that's pretty much all I got from that. Like, you know, I don't get what he's trying to say.
I always wonder with stuff like that, was Kevin Martin not wanting to give him any advice because he doesn't want him to do well?
So they didn't show on the show because Marty's been going around saying it a bunch. He also told him to trust his gut and make the decisions that are best for him because Marty keeps saying that in the house. Kevin told me I need to trust my gut. Kevin told me I need to trust my gut.
Wow.
Kevin told me I need to trust my gut. And so it's
Kevin tells it's, him it's, what he needs.
It's basically what he needed to do, right? I mean, so that was an interesting thing to me was that Kevin Martin told him that, but everything that they showed, he basically, like you said, told him nothing.
Yeah.
So in the conversation that Gino had with JL, we see them talk about, okay, well, we think the people who Marty should put up are Josh and Moose and Herman as a possible back door. That's sort of what's in their mind. JC Lynn sort of solidifies it while she's in the conversation at Wendy's. And then it seems like they put everybody in the house into Marty's HOH room, and they're all having a session. I assume they were doing something, cleaning the house, the production, or setting up a comp or doing something. And Marty's like, you know what? It's time to go to confessional. I've missed the Pope. And Marty says, just in case you are not aware, I was the one that voted Gino. I do not know who else. I do not know. But I was the one that voted Gino. Helena's eyes perk up, and she's like, I'm taking this to my grave.
And Summer kiss gets her dead to rights. Summer looks at her in the eye and says, it was her.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I'm telling you, Helena, when she gets when she is like doing something shady, she has the worst poker face. Like, I can tell by her, like, when her eyebrows go up so high, I'm like, Helena, at least pull up a good poker face.
No one else clocked it. Summer's just really good.
And here's the thing that made zero sense to me in what Marty said. Marty basically said, you people that made me vote for Gino. You better watch out. You will pay for it. What logic is there? What the hell?
There's no logic. All
you
he
people
did,
that all made Marty me did, vote for him.
This is all Marty did. He threw everybody who approached him to take out Gino under the bus just for the sole purpose of the mistake of he voted for Gino when he should have backed out of it.
He was throwing the masterminds, Betty and Josh, under the bus for tricking him and Kevin because he's convinced that Kevin's the other vote. So he's like, they tricked us, me and Kevin, the two of us. They tricked us. And Kevin's like, that was me.
Then we come to the end of the episode. Marty's in the HOH room. Kevin
he's
joins
mad.
Him. Kevin wants to, you know, Kevin says, you know, Marty's been very emotional. Let's check up. And you know, Marty is obviously extremely emotional. Marty is perturbed. Marty is angry and says, Betty and Josh, they tricked me. And he bangs things so hard that even the people underneath in the pantry hear him.
Yes.
They all go and check out what the hell is going on. We think it's Marty and Kevin. And then Big Brother does something it only does in special occasions. To be continued.
Yeah.
What an episode.
Yeah, that was a very good episode. Very dramatic. Lots of insight. Lots of stuff got revealed too. So I think that was one of my favorite episodes this season so far. I think it's nice.
I loved it too. So those of you who are listening or watching us, we're about to get into some spoiler territory where Josh, our live feed guy,
he's going to continue
some information. Now
he's
going to
be the continued.
10 seconds. Now 5. Now 4. If you don't want to hear what happened, please leave. But see us again on Friday when we're going to continue our conversation at 8 p.m. Okay, Josh.
Continue.
Give us a nice, succinct version.
To be continued.
Okay, so right after To Be Continued, the conversation with Kevin and Marty doesn't finish there. Marty and Kevin discuss on what to do for nominations. Kevin suggests to Marty to do, I believe it was Herman and Moose. Ooh. Marty is so adamant that he believes that Josh and Betty were the ones to do it on the Geno round. He was just like, I'm putting those two up. No ands, ifs, or buts about it. Kevin keeps trying to get inside Marty's ear and be like, you know what? It's not quite such a good idea. Slowly tries to like compromise and be like, try to throw in Moose in there. Do you like Josh or Moose? Or throw in Josh and Herman. Just to meet him halfway. Conversations keep going by. They're at an impasse. A few more conversations later. Then it got to the nominations.
Wait. Don't forget this part.
Yeah.
That he goes and he has to go consult with Geno. He has to go to consult with Geno.
He has to go consult with
Geno. And ask Geno, who should he do? And Geno says, put up Moose and Josh. So that way, if Josh wins the veto, then you can put up Betty. Then whatever. One of them goes home. And then it's so funny because then Kevin, what's his face? Marty goes, well, what if Betty wins the veto and takes down Josh? And they're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that could be a problem. Then that's when they get to the nominations.
Yes, yes. So then we get to the nominations. Marty then puts up his two nominations, and they are Josh and Betty. Josh and Betty set up on the block. Marty was very adamant on what he wanted to do. And then we move on a little bit, a few more conversations happen. And then Marty's ideal target was leading towards for Josh. Then another conversation came in for Kevin. And then Kevin slowly put in a little bug into Marty's ear and was like, we don't need to really take out Josh. Like, it'll be better to like weaken Josh to take out someone like Betty. So then from that point, Marty was like, okay, you know what? Yeah. The target then switched from Josh over down to Betty. Then now, we get switched. Yeah.
This sounds chaotic how Josh is explaining it. This is how this weekend actually was.
It literally was.
Marty flipped back and forth about who he wanted to target between Josh and Betty multiple times, as well as who to put up. Because remember, he has pledged this HOH to Geno. Geno doesn't actually trust him.
No.
So Gino's been like, yeah, whatever you want to do. But Marty has been trying to make sure that Geno gets the okay with all this. And so it's gone from Betty to Josh, from Josh back to Betty. And that's where we are now in this moment that Josh is explaining.
So then we go into the choosing for the veto comps. As you know, Marty can't compete, as well as you got to Josh and Betty going in. The three other people that were chosen to compete in the veto were Summer, Kevin, and Geno. The three of them were competing. And then next you know, for the first time this season, one of the nominees didn't win veto. The winner of the veto comp was actually Kevin. So now this could be the first time that a veto does not get used, right? Well, another conversation goes in from Kevin to Marty and was just like, do you think that we should make a move to take out Herman? Reason being is that Herman is actually sitting really, really well. The target's wide open for him. He's so close to winning comp season. He's in such a good standings with everybody else. We should take a shot at Herman or potentially Summer or Moose. Marty was just sitting here being like, do we have the votes? And then Kevin's like, we have the votes. So Marty first shut it down, but after a while.
Marty made a deal with both Moose and Herman that he would not be putting them up. He told Herman that he wouldn't go up, nor would he be the replacement nomination.
Yes.
In addition, Marty also made it very clear that it would be unfair to backdoor a 43-year-old man in himself. And then now for him to then go and backdoor Herman, he wouldn't do it. There was no way he would do it. In fact, there's a clip that's floating on the internet where he looks at the camera after Kevin leaves and suggests this, and he says, I'm not doing it. There's no way I'm doing it, because that would be, I don't want to look bad to Canada, me going back on my word. I don't want to do this. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to test.
Hold on. He would look bad if he goes back on his word after he went back on his word 17,000 times by now?
Precisely. Yeah. Precisely. This is how chaotic Marty is.
But Marty says, you know what, though? I'll only do it if Gino wants me to do it. So he goes to Gino and he says, and he tells Kevin, I'm going to test Gino. Because Kevin tells Marty that Gino and Herman are close. And then Marty's like, no, they're not. Let me go test him. He goes and asks Gino, how do you feel about me putting her up Herman? This is the test. Gino goes, you know, if that's what you feel like you want to do, man, then do it. But, you know, it's up to you. And then Marty looks and says, he passed the test. He doesn't care. I think I'm going to put him up. And it's like, wait a minute. I thought this was a test. I thought this was just a test of loyalty.
Yeah, like, that's the funny thing about this whole thing is that, like, Marty throws in the idea to test Gino. And then next thing you know, he passed the test. But then next thing you know, is leaning towards putting up Herman anyways, which is kind of like, I'm still trying to process how Marty even got to that conclusion of wanting to do that. But anyways, so basically Kevin then said to Marty, you know what? I'm planning on using the veto on Josh so you can backdoor Herman. Because if you leave Josh on the block, he's going to go home. Marty agrees, is like, okay, you know what? Let's do it. We have the votes. Let's push for it. Veto ceremony happens. Kevin stands up and says, I would like to use the veto on Josh. Josh goes off the block. And then we close this out with Marty naming the replacement nominee, Herman.
And from what I understand, he told Herman to go ahead and dance himself back onto the block.
Now, as an insult to injury, yeah.
That's what I hear he might have said. And so Herman goes on the block, which is a surprise to Herman. And because, you know, Marty made a deal with him that he would not be going on the block at all. And then promptly goes back on the deal within the same week, which is insane. But that's what Marty did during his own HOH. And we have now watched Kevin control two different HOHs, which is pretty phenomenal.
True. One more thing that I would like to mention before we close this out, like as of right now, the way that the eviction going into the eviction night, the votes are going to be close to split. However, Summer and Josh are now in a very peculiar position because they are both close with Betty and Herman. Josh has a final two deal with Herman and also is very close with Betty. Summer is in a bunch of alliances with Betty and as well as very being close to Herman as well. So now, both of them have been constantly having discussions numerous times on what they're going to do. They told everybody that they weren't so sure on their vote. Summer then finally went to have a talk with Herman and was saying, I'm leaning towards voting out Betty, leaving Josh now wavering back and forth, being like, what is the route Summer going to do? Because if Summer makes the wrong call and then Josh makes the wrong call, they're both going to get closed off. So they're constantly waving back and forth, and like as of right now, we do not know which one of the two is going to go. It really comes down to like day by day basis to see what Josh and Summer are going to do because they're the swing votes at this point.
If Herman doesn't leave, it's a wasted week. Come on.
I mean, that's fair. Yeah. Well, like, here's the thing. It's a waste of an HOH, but at the same token, Herman is going to be gunning for Marty as well as Kevin.
Everyone is gunning for Marty except for Helena and Kevin.
Basically,
Gino and Gino and JC Lynn want Marty out first.
I expect that if Gino wins HOH or JL wins HOH, they're going to put up Marty and get rid of
yes.
him. Just correct. Like
I think they're going to backdoor Marty. I think it would be
everyone plans on backdooring Marty. They're going to put up Kevin and Elena and then backdoor Marty. That's the plan for everyone. That's not Kevin or Helena. So even Josh, that's Josh's plan too. Not to put the two of them up, but to put up two people and then backdoor Marty.
Yeah.
What a week it's been in the Big Brother Canada house. And here's the thing. It's only, as we see, getting spicier and spicier. Yes. Join us again on Friday at 8 p.m. where we're going to recap what happens after Marty gets super, super angry and hits his table in the HOH room. Hopefully he breaks it. I really hope that would be fun. We're going to actually see the veto the nominations, the veto competition, the renom. We're going to also see who leaves, and we're going to find out who that person that leaves is, who that person is and becomes the first member of the BB Can House jury. Josh, anything on your mind before we call it a night?
Yes, tomorrow. Survivor Pandemic Season 6 premiere is going to be up on our YouTube page. If you haven't subscribed to it, please follow Survivor Pandemic on YouTube, where our first episode will be dropped out. It will be a 2-hour premiere, very close to it. So, like, if you still need more of your Survivor fix after tomorrow's episode of Season 42 Survivor, you can watch Season 6 Survivor Pandemic at 9 p.m. Eastern. So stay tuned for that. You do not want to miss out. Kevin, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, check out, I believe, special Wednesday coverage of Survivor 42. Kylie, Robbie, and the whole gang will be on there. I will not be, but we will be having, I believe, either Wednesday. And if not Wednesday, check it out again like normal on Thursday at their normal time. Check that out. Also, on the DCOM After Dark podcast, this month we will be covering the Disney Channel original movie Horse Sense. So check that out. Horse Sense came out sometime in the 2000s. I believe it stars Andrew Lawrence.
The guy that Kevin plays in the house when he puts on a suit. I get it.
Nice DCOM After Dark. We'll be on there doing that. Joey Lawrence, Andrew Lawrence, the Lawrence Bros.
The Lawrence Bros.
It came out in 99. It's great. Check it out. We'll be covering that Disney Channel original movie. Join us for that.
So, and for us here, you're also going to want to check us out on Friday night, 8 p.m. We're going to talk about all of those wonderful things we said before. Can't wait to see you. But until then, have yourselves a beautiful night. And outside of the Big Brother Canada for the fans house in Vaughan, Ontario, goodbye.